speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Good morning, America. It's time to wake up. We've got some reports about the CNN town hall last night. And, of course, you saw the pictures of Joe Biden as his a blood vessel burst in his eye. But it that wasn't the eye of the storm. The eye of the storm, the center of their debate, was really around the hurricane right now. That's the eye of the debate, the eye of the CNN storm, because that is bona fide evidence of climate change. The fact that we have a hurricane in late August, early September. No, I grew up in Florida. That is not a sign of climate change. That's a sign of climate continuity. But we're going to take a look at what is really scary. What's really scary is not Joe Biden's eye, but what's really scary is what the Democrats said at that debate. As they talked about climate justice. Understand that this is a UN agenda, and they kept coming back to 2030 as they talked about sustainability. Why don't they just put up the UN document instead of the Democratic platform? We all know where this is coming from. We all know that climate change is just a beard for their Marxist policies, and they were quite explicit about their Marxist agenda of class warfare and race warfare. They tied those two pillars of Marxism and socialist change. They tied those two pillars of race and class warfare. They tied it to climate change, of course, last night. So we're going to take a look at that. I want to start real quickly, however, with a op-ed piece from Reason Magazine. And they were commenting, actually, it's Jacob Sullum at Reason Magazine, saying, YouTube is not the government. To which I want to say, are you really sure? Can you really tell where the government ends and where YouTube begins anymore, or vice versa? I remember once upon a time that libertarians used to say that in a truly free market, you're not going to have monopolies. You get monopolies because you have collusion and corruption between government officials and corporations. That's how they get this in. And if you don't see the collusion and the corruption, if you don't see how DARPA is working hand in glove, and of course the glove or the big tech companies, if you don't see how that is happening, quite frankly, I don't know what to say anymore to these people at Reason Magazine or the libertarians. Or even the conservatives. You know, we had President Trump. The only thing that I can tell that he's done, he's put out a couple of mild tweets, not nearly the kind of concern that you see from President Trump, where he talks about censorship of the people who support him, the people who got him elected. He doesn't seem to be so upset about that as he is about a personal insult from a Hollywood celebrity. He can go on and on about that. But when it comes to completely destroying free speech on the internet and handing it over as the little playground of Google and Facebook, he doesn't really have too much to say. And when he did his garden party, he had a few social media influencers who, for the most part, have not been censored. They might have been temporarily suspended, but they haven't been censored. And they were there to support him and to show that he sympathizes with him. But the real people who were talking there were the many voices of the Heritage Foundation. So when you look at the Cato Institute, the Libertarian Think Tank, you look at Reason Magazine, you look at the conservative preeminent think tank Heritage, they tell you there's nothing to worry about. Everything's just fine. No, everything is not just fine. And it really is DARPA and the federal government that is behind this. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
It's Thursday, September the 5th, year of our Lord, 2019. It's time to wake up, America, and let's take a look at what's going on to our free speech. And we're going to take a look at the, I guess you could call it, it's not really a climate debate. There was no debate between the Democrats. There is a complete consensus with them. It's almost as if they were reading a script. And I've seen the script. It's the UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainability. Sustainable development, smart cities, and they've got a deadline. Because, you know, without a time frame for your plans, it's nothing but a wish. Oh, these people are deadly serious. And they are very accomplished at what they're able to get done. So we're going to take a look at what they had to say. And we're going to take a look at the center of the debate. The eye of the debate really wasn't Joe Biden's eye turning blood red. That's at the top of the Drudge Report. That raises some interesting questions about his health, in addition to his mental problems that he's been exhibiting lately. But the real eye of the storm was actually Hurricane Dorian. And you'll not believe what they had to say about that. Now, it is not climate change. It is climate continuity, quite frankly. It's kind of like saying, well, the fact that it is now cold in winter. We have snow in Buffalo, so therefore we have climate change. Or it's hot in Texas, so we've got climate change. Or we've got hurricanes in Florida. Climate change. Everything is climate change. And you know what? They actually said this. It affects, this is AOC talking, of course. It affects minorities and women hardest. They're hardest hit by the hurricane. But let's talk first a little bit about free speech, because whenever I see conservative think tanks like the Heritage Foundation at President Trump's free speech garden party telling everybody, there's nothing to worry about. These are private companies. This is a good thing when private companies get really big and tell you that you don't have any rights and you don't, and they can steal things from you. That's really a good thing. Heritage Foundation. That's basically what they were saying about free speech. Of course, Cato Institute, heavily funded by Koch brothers. No, nothing to see there, right? Heavily funded. Of course, they give a lot of money to the Heritage Foundation, too. And the Clintons, you know, they spread it across there because they're not, it's not a Republican-Democrat thing. The Republicans and Democrats, for the most part, are on the same side with this. They want anything that the military wants. And as I pointed out, you know, going back to 1917 yesterday, I said 1917, one of the first people prosecuted under the Espionage Act of 1917 was a film producer. How about that, Hollywood? Did you see that report, Hollywood? Yeah, one of the first people prosecuted under the Espionage Act was a Hollywood film producer. And conservatives, the film that he was doing was The Spirit of 1776, Spirit of 76. It's a lost film now. They were able to completely censor that because Woodrow Wilson didn't want a film that showed the British as bad guys because he and his PR propagandist, Edward Bernays, were pushing us into a war that Americans didn't want, had no interest in, had no reason to be in, and that was World War I. And he wanted us on the side of the British. So let's not have that there. And because this guy persisted and putting out, after they came back with their censors and cut out stuff out of the movie, he put it back in, showed it again. So they put him in jail for 10 years. Massive fine. He eventually left the United States. He went back to Europe. And interestingly enough, he disappeared in the Holocaust. He was picked up last anybody knew of him. He was sent to a German concentration camp. And the Supreme Court said at the time that there was no First Amendment protection for film. And, of course, they have the final word, right? They reverse themselves back and forth all the time. And now we have a court decision. This is the reason this came up with Reason Magazine. YouTube is not the government, they said. Well, no, I don't know. I don't know. Who owns who? Does DARPA own YouTube? Or does YouTube own the politicians? Good question. Can you tell what is the tail and the head of this snake that is devouring our free speech, our free press, using the internet to control, to monitor us? And they basically have come out of the closet. I've been telling you it was a plan from the 1960s. It became effective in the 1990s. They funded corporations that would push their agenda. You know, DARPA came under a lot of, DARPA and the NSA, they came under a lot of criticism from people, you know, when they had their total information awareness programs, their data log programs. You know, we're going to create, not data log, life log. We're going to create a log of everything that everybody does from cradle to grave. And people said, wait a minute. Do we really want government doing this? Yeah, I know we had three buildings that fell down when two planes hit them, but do we now really want to give the government that kind of control over our lives? And so they said, nah, never mind. We'll get rid of LifeLog because guess what? They found Facebook. Founded the same day, by the way, that they shut down LifeLog. Oh, yeah, that's your LifeLog right there. And the whole thing, if you want to talk about YouTube and Google, it is a goo log. They've got a log of everything. And now they've rolled out the other part of this program. I've been talking about how since the late 1990s, geospatial intelligence, the government was going to use the internet not only as a tool of psychological control to manipulate you, give you authoritative sources so that you'll do what they say. That's the Milgram experiment. Have the vast majority of create a phony consensus in the room so that even if they tell you something that is obviously false, like three buildings fell into their footprint after two of them were hit by planes, even if they tell you something that mitigates against all of your common sense, your reality, what you see, you'll believe it because the vast majority of people raise their hand and say, I believe that. And so you look around and go, oh, okay, me too, right? That's the Ash experiment. So they could manipulate public opinion. They could also close the loop and determine whether or not you believe that. And now we have seen that they are moving into the Chinese social credit system, and they've become very overt about this. DARPA even talking about now with this HARPA system that has surfaced in the last week. These people who have something that is modeled after HARPA, but it's going to be for your mental health. We're here to help you. We're very concerned about your welfare. And I think it's medication time because we've been observing you through our corporate partners who turn over your information that they've been collecting on you. They turn over all that information to us. And of course, we protect them from you suing them for violating your privacy. We have put in place, it's why they were so desperate to put this, all of these tools, as I've been talking about here for years, as InfoWars has been talking about for years, watching you through your computer screen. Oh, you're a bunch of tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists. You're just paranoid. No, actually they are. You know that now, right? But you don't care. Listening to you through your phone. Oh, you're a bunch of conspiracy theorists. Protecting corporations who are going to give that information about you to the government with CISPA. Many times they tried to do that. Aaron Schwartz fought them and they passed it over his dead body. Now, whether or not you believe they drove him to suicide or whether they actually killed him, I mean, this is another one of the Jeffrey Epstein things. I come down the side, I think they actually killed him because he wasn't the kind of guy who was going to roll over and commit suicide because they were threatening him. They had threatened him all along. But he had fought them. They'd put out CISPA several times, Actus Opa Pipa. They had all these different names, acronyms, here and in the EU. Finally, they got CISA through. But it's all about protecting corporations when they turn over that information to you. And so now it's come out gradually. All this stuff starts to leak out. Look, Apple, who says your privacy is your business and we're not going to listen to you, it turns out they are. Alexa is listening. Google is listening. All these different devices are listening. They're watching everything that you're doing and they're turning it over to the government. And the government says, now we're going to use that to red flag you. Now, if that isn't a red flag, and if they haven't flown their colors, folks, Marxism and tyranny has always flown under the red flag, and these people are Marxists. I forget all this stuff about red states. No, they are the Red Brigade, and they're here to take not just your guns, but to incarcerate you. We'll be right back. Welcome back. So Reason says YouTube is not the government. Well, I guess you could say the same thing about Harris Semiconductor. They're not the government, and yet they were working with the government with Stingray. So the government could do surveillance without a search warrant. And when one judge asked the police, how did you get this information? Well, I can't tell you, Judge. I have a non-disclosure agreement that I signed. It says, you don't have a non-disclosure agreement with me. They said, well, he goes, you either tell me that or I'm throwing the case out. And they said, okay, throw the case out. But we're going to protect our corporation. We're partners with them, not with the legal system. You know, Amazon is private. Amazon's got the Ring new feature, you know, that spy Big Brother camera in your doorbell. And they're partnering with police and telling everybody, we need to have a neighborhood watch. And guess what they're going to be watching? Everything about you. Yeah, they're going to protect their packages from being stolen, but they're also going to be working with the police to set up even more surveillance of the neighborhoods. Of course, they also have Alexa that's listening to you inside the house as well. CBS, NBC, and ABC, you know, they're private organizations, right? But I played for you a couple of days ago when you had the Frank Church hearings back in the 1970s. They openly, you had William Colby, director of the CIA at the time, said when asked, do you have television networks that you send information to, that you're supplying information to, having you read this information to them? Basically asking them about Operation Mockingbird. He goes, yes, but can we talk about that privately? Do you have any major news services, you know, like the Associated Press? And at the time, UPI. And he goes, can't we talk about this privately, please? You know, let's not talk. Well, they were private organizations. AP is private. Are they working in collusion with the government? Like Amazon? Like Harris? Like Google? Like Facebook? You know, DARPA is out there. It's government, but they're funding things like NewsGuard, which is going to tell you entire news organizations. They're not even going to go down to the level of saying, well, this story is true, that story is not, this story is true, that story is not, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. They're not going to do that. It's not going to be a daisy. She loves, I love this, I love this not. Okay, they're not going to do that. Instead, they're going to say, well, this entire news organization is bogus. And everything that the New York Times and Washington Post tell you, you can believe that. And ABC, CBS, NBC, because they're being supplied information by the government, of course. That's the way this is rolling out. Entire news organizations. Forget about the fact that, you know, New York Times and Washington Post have been caught deliberately lying to people, that they've had mistakes. They've caught reporters who were lying, who got a Pulitzer Prize over their lies. They had to give that back and so forth. No. They are the gold standard of truth, and you must believe everything they have to say. That's what NewsGuard, funded by DARPA, is doing. And, of course, they're going to also fund ElectionGuard. You know, Congress is government. Congress is demanding, just like the European Union, that they censor certain people. And yet, the libertarian think tanks and the conservative think tanks, like the Heritage Foundation, are telling us this is not a problem. And we had a court case here. You had Dennis Prager and his institute, PragerU. They've been heavily censored by YouTube. And they've had some of their videos restricted. I don't think they have been completely kicked off like we have. But he decided he would take it to court and make the argument from the 1946 Supreme Court case I've talked about many times here, Marsh versus Alabama, where the Supreme Court actually got the First Amendment right for once. You know, it's kind of, you have these different Supreme Courts. In 1915, the Supreme Court, as I pointed out before, said there is no First Amendment for movies. By 1952, I can't recall, they reversed that. They said, no, you can say whatever you want, and we're not going to let the government censor the movies. And it was that same court, within about 5 years of that decision, that said that a corporation that owned a company town, they owned everything in the town, they owned the public square, and you had a Jehovah's Witness come in there, and she wanted to hand out some literature. And they said, not here. Get out of here. We own this town. And she fought them, took it all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, even if the public square is privately owned, you still have a right to free speech. They got that right. Just like they got the fact that film ought to be considered to be free speech. As a matter of fact, you know, when that guy went to jail, again, that was, it's always the military, isn't it? And the government, and typically the military and their wars, where they attack free speech. And as I pointed out, that's what we've seen consistently. Woodrow Wilson sending that producer to jail for producing The Spirit of 76. You've had the attack against the threats. It wasn't really an attack. They didn't come after the Washington Post for publishing the Pentagon Papers. That was information about the military that they didn't want you to see. But WikiLeaks showed us information about what was going on in our name in some of these wars. And now Julian Assange is rotting in jail. They will most likely try to kill him before they have to extradite him to the U.S. and have a messy trial here in the United States. It would be so much more convenient for them if he were to die in a British prison because he skipped bail on a charge that was obviously bogus and was even dropped before he was even arrested for skipping bail. And if you don't understand that it is now DARPA that is saying we want to have red flags where we can identify people that we think may do something dangerous in the future. Not just take your guns, folks. They are going to put you in a mental asylum. This is classic Stalinesque tyranny. And like I said before, they have flown their red flag. They have flown their Marxist, Soviet, Communist China style of tyranny. And you've got Ivanka cheerleading this and pushing this to President Trump. And you ought to be afraid of this. Because it was Ivanka who goaded President Trump into attacking Syria after that absurd, it was a second attempt at creating a false flag to draw us into Syria. And he went for it because Ivanka was triggered by pictures of babies suffering. Oh, it must be the Syrian government then. And so we've got to go attack them. And so she was able to do it before, so we should be worried about this. But let's get back to this case here. Unlike the private corporation in Marsh, however, said the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, they pushed back on this argument that the YouTube censorship corresponds to Marsh versus Alabama. They said, unlike the private corporation in Marsh, defendants do not own all the property and control all aspects and municipal functions of an entire town. And so this is the U.S. District Judge Lucy Coe. So she doesn't really buy that argument. She doesn't think that the digital public square is really what their business model is, even though they say that, even though Twitter has said that many, many times. It is the digital public square. Their business model is not that they sell cakes. Their business model is not that they are a mall. Their business model is they are a digital public square. Wouldn't you think that that would at least be a violation of torturous interference of business? A violation of their own terms of service and rules? Oh, no. That right there tells you that YouTube is the government. We'll be right back.
Using free speech to free minds. This is The David Knight Show.
If your representations are correct, it seems deeply disturbing that they put your stuff in a restricted area, said a George Bush appointee with the Ninth Circuit of Court. And this is the case from PragerU, Dennis Prager. His institution has had restrictions put on their YouTube channel. They haven't been banned. They've had restrictions placed on their YouTube channel. And they are making the argument, trying to go back to the Supreme Court decision in 1946. Now, isn't it interesting that you don't have these judges so fearful to tread on a previous Supreme Court decision? You know, when we look at Roe v. Wade, oh, it's the law of the land. The Supreme Court said so. And we have to respect previous Supreme Court decisions as if they were a constitutional amendment. We must not. They fear to tread on those previous decisions, but not when it comes to free speech. And so he said, this George Bush appointee, George W. Bush appointee, said, well, it's very disturbing, deeply disturbing, that they've restricted your content. But I'm not sure that that creates a First Amendment issue. Now, in 1946, that Supreme Court realized that the Declaration of Independence said that our rights come from God, and we create government to protect those rights. So are you going to allow a corporation to steal your rights? Is it okay when corporations steal? It's only bad when individuals steal or when governments steal? No, it's bad when corporations steal. And that's why we have governments. And it's not just your speech that they're stealing. They're stealing elections. This is being done to manipulate the election. And if you don't see the government connection, Reason, Heritage, Cato Institute, take a look at the fact that you've got DARPA, the government, that is funding NewsGuard to tell you what news is true and what isn't. And they're also funding Election Guard, which is going to count the votes. And then you've got the FEC, which is government, by the way, Reason, Cato, Heritage. The FEC is government, and they're talking about putting restrictions on the Drudge Report and other speech on the internet, saying that if you have a free discussion of speech out there, this is not, they don't own the Drudge Report. The Drudge Report is private. What is the government doing interfering in that? Saying what Matt Drudge can put on the Drudge Report. Where is Reason and Cato and Heritage in defending that? Silent. Silent. So don't give me this I own the world argument. I am so disgusted with these people who cozy up with the multinational corporations because they want open borders, they want disadvantage. It's not even open free trade. This is managed trade in favor of China. They want that China bias. They want open borders. They want all of this stuff. They want cheap labor to come in. They want to be eating, and it's not people to pick the fruit. It's people that they're going to be replacing, college graduates who've got engineering and software degrees. They're going to bring in people who are cheaper at other places. I mean, these visa programs that they're pushing. But getting back to the free speech issue, again, it was a U.S. District Judge Lucy Koh last year. She ruled against Prager, and now they're having to argue before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I just told you what the George W. Bush appointee said. He's not sure that that creates a First Amendment issue. Well, yeah, it does. It does. Yeah, this is not Congress making laws, but guess what? Congress doesn't make laws anymore. Bureaucracies make rules. Corporations make rules. Congress sits there and holds hearings and tells you they hold your hand and tell you, we feel so bad about what they're doing, but, you know, there's really not anything I can do. The bureaucracy out here did this, or the corporation did this, and, you know, they're just in charge now. We've just let them do whatever they want. I'm just a congressman. I just, you know, I just emote. I feel your pain, but I can't do anything about it. And so you have a Clinton appointee at the Ninth Circuit Court says YouTube is a public forum in the colloquial sense, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're a First Amendment public forum, does it? It is the digital public square. And if you don't have this, you have to understand the pattern of all of this. It's why I played the clips from the Frank Church hearings. If you have the CIA telling a limited number of people, ABC, CBS, ABC, NBC, CBS, they tell them what they're supposed to say. You cover these stories and you say this about that. That's what they want to go back to. They had that. And now they just want a larger forum to program you with propaganda, because this new forum, internet, also can watch you and see whether or not you agree with that. And if you don't agree with it, you must be crazy. We're going to have to red flag you, put you in an insane asylum. Take your guns first. But don't worry, they're going to come for you. This is not really about gun control. This is about population control. Always has been. And so as they go through this, Prager's lawyer came back and said, YouTube is not just a company town. They're arguably a company country and maybe a company world force. He is exactly right. This is far worse than some corporate bullies in some small town. These corporations are bigger than most countries. They're more solvent than the United States. And they can bully the world. As a matter of fact, it is a globalist agenda that they're pushing. That's why you have think tanks that are libertarian, think tanks that are conservative. You have Republicans, you have Democrats taking a pass on this and letting them do this. You go back and take a look at the NDAA, right? That NDAA of 2012, when they said, we can have the military arrest you, hold you, try you, hold you without trial, and we can send you off to another country, presumably to be tortured, right? No problem. We have to pass that. As much as that really kind of bothers me, Barack Obama said, don't worry, I'm not going to do that. But we got to pass that NDAA because we got to fund the military. The military, that's more important than your individual liberties, and it always has been, and it's more important than your free speech. They're at war with you. It's not just an information war. It is a mind war as well. And the first casualty in that is going to be free speech. Because the first casualty is truth. They're going to make sure that truth is not there. Now, Google responded and said the First Amendment isn't a switch that gets turned on or off based on how a private business describes itself. Well, we're talking about deceptive business practices at the very least when they violate their own rules in terms of services. Three strikes and you're out? No. Didn't even get one of their subjective strikes. I've had four channels taken down on YouTube. Four channels. By the way, if you want to see my content, go to band.live. You're not going to see this kind of stuff on YouTube. You're not going to see it on social media. And I want to move on to what's going on with Facebook, quite frankly. Because the other story that came out today, that's about the First Amendment, is the fact that Facebook is now going to more explicitly censor any speech about vaccines that they don't agree with. They are going to be the arbiters of truth. And if you disagree with them, if you disagree with the CDC, the CDC, by the way, is the biggest reseller of vaccines in the world. And so they're going to tell you the truth. And if you say anything about vaccines, you will get a pop-up. Now, I don't know how people are even saying anything about vaccines on Facebook, because going back to March, they implemented a new policy to de-rank accounts that are spreading vaccine information in their search results. So if you are talking about vaccines, they've taken your visibility down. They're going to hide you, right? Again, we are at the situation where you have social media that is antisocial. You have search engines that work at hiding information and, of course, pushing the information that they want to you. That's why DARPA helped these guys to come into existence. Pinterest said that they recognize the data void about vaccine safety. And so in 2019, August this year, they implemented a prioritization of authoritative pins. What was that I said about the Milgram experiment? Yeah. Believe this. This is coming from the authorities. If they tell you to stick a poison in your arm, you'll do it, right? Because it's the CDC. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that includes being fluoride-free and vaccine-free. We have Sheridan, Virginia. The Sheridan City Council voted unanimously Monday night to cease adding fluoride to the city's water supply. Why? Well, because you found out the truth. For years, actually decades, anybody who pushed back against this process, this mindless process of medicating the public by dumping something into the water. Even if you think that fluoride is totally safe and totally effective, why would you dump it into the water supply to give it to people? It makes absolutely no sense. You can't control the dosage. When the JAMA report, pediatrics, came out, I talked about that. I said, you look at the, we've had a case of a guy who had too much fluoride in his water and he died, and they talked about the dosage for children, and it was only 1/6 of what fatal amount, what killed that adult male. Look, anything, including water, water by itself, pure water. You drink too much of it, you can die. You've had situations where they had jokes, a joke contest at a radio station. Let's see how much water these contestants can drink, and And who's the first one to have to go to the bathroom? And some lady died because she just drank too much water. Well, if you dump medication, even if it's safe, 100% safe, 100% effective, you just dump it into the water. How do you know that you're not giving too much of a dosage to a child, a baby? How do you know that they're getting a sufficient dosage? I mean, it's absolute insanity. And then the other cognitive dissonance is to take a look at your toothpaste, your fluoridated toothpaste, and look at the warning that's put on there. Warning, call poison control if you swallow this. What? What? I mean, you know, you think that fluoride is good for your teeth? Well, you know, put it on there, but don't swallow it. And yet they put it in the water supply. And so when the editor of JAMA Pediatrics looked at this study that was just recently done, he said, this can't be true. They're saying that IQ goes down as fluoride consumption goes up. And so he said, we really vetted this. I'm sorry, but we had to publish this because it was actually true. I didn't want to believe it. For me, the anti-fluoride movement was there before the anti-vaccine movement. And so I didn't really want to believe this, but yeah, it's true. So what they did in Sheridan, Virginia, they put out 12,363 surveys. They got about a third of the people, 34% returned it, and 55% said, we don't want fluoride put in our water. You know, people who want fluoride, go take your fluoride pills. Buy your fluoride toothpaste, whatever. But don't try to mass medicate the public by dumping it into the water supply. And so they're going to take it out. That is a very dangerous thing for the pharmaceutical companies, for the government. You know, the government is at a pretty low positive rating, according to Gallup polls. So is the media. But you know who's the lowest? The lowest of all the different segments? Big Pharma. Big Pharma is at a new low in U.S. ratings, reports the Gallup survey. Their negative rating is twice their positive rating. Actually, a little bit more than twice. They have a 27% positive rating, but a 58% negative rating with the public. And that's out dead last on the list of 25 industries that Gallup poll tests the public opinion of every year. And so they've got a real problem. What do they do about that? Well, Facebook to the rescue. Facebook is going to be there to help push a government agenda. Because, you know, Mark Zuckerberg has told them, look, I've got this great idea. I want to be the world's central bank. I've got this cryptocurrency. I've called it Libra. And we're going to have this little tight circle of friends, you know, big corporations who give me $10 million each to be a clearing node for my cryptocurrency. But for all you governments out there, we will be your willing partner. And we can turn this, he said in the white paper for his Libra cryptocurrency, he said we can turn this into a global ID. He's holding that out there as a carrot. He's also holding it out there that he can grab all kinds of information on them. You know, again, when the government shut down its LifeLog project, they did it on the same day that Facebook came out, because Facebook is your LifeLog, and they know everything about you. And they're more than willing to give that to the government for advantage, right? So, yeah, Reason, Heritage, Cato Institute, they are they're working hand in glove with the government. They are the glove over the government's hand. And maybe you don't want us to see that. But I think that Heritage and Cato know that. They know that. Their corporate sponsors know that. They just don't want you to know that. So how is this playing out when it comes to vaccines? Well, Facebook has a new strategy, according to Dr. Sejal Parekh, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, out of New York. They've revealed a new strategy to combat the anti-vaccine movement and to get scientific evidence in front of people. Oh, so they're going to, whenever somebody posts something about vaccines, they're going to put up the studies? No. They're not going to put that up. They're not going to put up are they going to put up the insert talking about what's actually in the vaccines? No, they're not going to do that. They're going to give you a link to the CDC, the biggest reseller of vaccines. Looking for vaccine information, they said. You know, so you put something out. They got an example here. Philadelphia Voice. Somebody says, it applies to those who start being vaccinated against HPV virus before age 15. Now, this is coming from the AMA. So they're in favor of it. They're not anti-vaccine. The only reason you're seeing that post is because they're pro-vaccine. And so the AMA puts out a pro-vaccine post, and it doesn't get spiked by Facebook and social media like an anti-vaccine would. But because it's talking about vaccines, they also have a link looking for vaccine information. Go to the CDC.gov. CDC, you know, I just talked about that the other day when I talked about Palantir. They're one of the clients of Palantir, along with all the military and intelligence agencies, all the branches of the military, and the CIA, the NSA, and the CDC. Now, what are they doing there? Oh, that's right, CDC. They work on bioweapons, their select agents program. They bring in very rare diseases. They bring them into the United States. They work on making them more deadly and more easily spread. And they also want to know what you're doing and what you think. And so they get Palantir, a private company. What could be wrong with that? Palantir, they're just a private company working for the military industrial complex. Nothing to see here. Move on, right? So the conservatives and libertarians and the, you know, Democrats don't have any problem with it either, right? Oh, they love this stuff too. In March, Facebook implemented new policies to de-rank accounts who are spreading vaccine information in their search results. See, because anti-vaccine content is contagious, they say. See, if certain speech is not only dangerous, it's diseased thinking. We can't have a discussion about safety and efficacy anymore. If you say that, you are dangerous and a disease. Pinterest recognized the quote-unquote data void about vaccine safety, and they prioritize, quote-unquote, authoritative pins. Authoritative pins from the CDC, from the World Health Organization. Pinterest claimed that promoting anti-vaccine misinformation has been against their community guidelines since 2017. Yes, of course. And folks, if you want to get that information, you're not going to be able to get it on social media because they are hiding that information from you. And then they're only going to let you see the positive, happy news about that, which may or may not be true. And then they will send you to the CDC. As a CDC spokeswoman said, we know that parents often turn to social media to access health information and connect with other parents. It can be difficult to determine what's accurate and who the credible sources of information are. We are the credible sources. It's an argument from authority. You believe them because they are authorities. Why are they authorities? Because they say so. And because Facebook says so. And because the New York Times and Washington Post say so. And then they validate the New York Times. It's a circular firing squad of authority. That's exactly what it is. And so we got to be worried about this because, you know, we had 1,200 confirmed cases across 31 states of measles, and yet nobody died. Nobody died. Isn't that interesting? But it is very serious when you get it as an adult because you've been vaccinated multiple times and you didn't get immunity as a child. See, really getting measles, those 1,200 confirmed cases now really do have lifetime immunity, unlike the people who've been vaccinated multiple times. We've had a lot of cases of where patient zero was vaccinated multiple times. So that's the information. If you want to get that information, you're going to have to go to band.live. That's where you're going to see our reports. You're not going to see them on social media. And we really appreciate your support. That's what makes that possible. And what makes this all possible is the products that we sell through InfoWarsStore.com. Right now, you can get DNA Force Plus 50% off and a free bottle of Carnivore 90 count. You can get Super Male Vitality 25% off and a free bottle of Carnivore 30 count. And don't forget to check out our newest product, Super Silver Skin Cream. It's a great skin cream with nano silver. InfoWarsStore.com.
Broadcasting with the power of the First Amendment. It's the David Knight Show.
You know, I find it kind of interesting. 2 days ago, we saw these news reports that are percolating through. The Defense Secretary has now green-lighted $3.6 billion for 175 miles of border wall. Ever came up with the idea of using the Defense Department to defend our country? I mean, what's taken so long? Come on, we've been talking about this forever. When President Trump took office, it's like, just you're the president. Your responsibility, as well as your authority, is to protect America, and that especially includes the border. That's something the president should have done from the very beginning. And I don't understand, and I've said it for the last 2 years. Why doesn't he just tell the military to do this? They've had record amounts of increases in the Pentagon's budget. I mean, in just 1 year alone, they increased it by more than the entire budget of Russia. That was just the increase. The increase was more than the entire defense budget of Russia, and yet they couldn't find anything in that budget that they could use to build the wall. I think it was $80 billion. President Trump said, well, to build the entire wall, we need 20. And so now they're getting $3.6 billion for 175 miles of border wall. I don't know why it is so expensive. And when you look at this, that is really less than 10% of what is needed as a barrier across the border. So if you multiply that out, so now the border wall has jumped from 20 to 36 or $40 billion. It's already doubled in the amount of money that's required. But the other thing that I find interesting about this was that it wasn't President Trump, evidently, who made this. It was the Secretary of Defense who informed Congress on Tuesday that he authorized $3.6 billion. It's like, what's, I just don't understand how Washington works anymore, because I've read the Constitution and I can't find anything that they do in there. This is not the way it's supposed to work. The president is supposed to authorize this, but this is a Secretary of Defense. I wonder what took so long. Was it Trump saying we're never going to leave Afghanistan? Was that the green light signal to say, all right, if we're not going to pull anybody out of any of these endless forever wars to defend the border, we'll look at moving some of the money down there to do 175 miles, which means that I don't know how much wall they've already got down there, but we've probably got a, I guess instead of calling it a wall, you could call it a 1,500-mile door. You've seen the pictures of the people walking around the wall in Arizona. If you don't have, if you got 1 mile open, then you've got a 1 mile doorway there. These projects will deter illegal entry, increase the vanishing time of those illegally crossing the border, and channel migrants to ports of entry. Schumer, of course, criticized Esper for even doing that. They don't want anything done. And according to The Hill, Democrats are walking a tightrope over this fight over Trump's wall funds. See, they don't really have anything that they can do. President Trump could have used the military to do this from day one. And he could do the entire thing if he would assert his authority. It's not the prerogative of the Secretary of Defense. He reports to the president. And there isn't anything that the Democrats will do or can do about that except to complain. And this is the way they're spinning it in The Hill. Hurricane hit bases are among those that are losing funds to the Trump wall. See, the Democrats will tell you that it's women and minorities that are hardest hit until they look at the fact that a little bit, a teeny tiny little bit of the defense budget is being used to actually defend our border. And then they'll say, well, those bases that are going to be hit by the hurricane, they're taking money away from them to build, to protect our border. It's like, well, what do we have military bases for anyway? I don't really understand. We'll have more about the Democrats' climate justice show on CNN last night when we come back. You're not going to believe what these people had to say. It's pretty scary. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're going to take a look at what happened on CNN last night as they had what they called their climate town hall. Now, what this was virtue signaling. There was no debate, of course. They all agree that the hurricane is evidence of climate change. But what has really got the headlines today in the top of Drudge Report is Joe Biden's eye filling with blood while he is answering a question. Biden was in the middle of speaking when his eye appeared to fill with blood, and he didn't seem to notice, but everybody else did. It got pretty bad. But the real eye of the storm is really the hurricane. Interestingly enough, I don't know if he was trying, this was the Biden campaign's attempt at a joke. But after the debate, the people with his campaign tweeted out, "We can't turn a blind eye to the way in which environmental burdens are distributed unevenly along racial and socioeconomic lines." Now, I can't turn a blind eye to their red Marxism. Again, as I've said many times, it bugs me to no end that we have, and it's another example of how all of the media acting in concert can get you to accept something that you know is absolutely not true. Calling conservatives red. It's the Marxist, socialist, Democrats who have always flown the red flag. The Soviet Union, Communist China, the U.S. Communist Party. I mean, all of that. Red was their color. And it should be a red flag when you've got the Democrats and Republicans adopting their tactics. And this basically is, when he talks about distribution, uneven distribution along racial and socioeconomic lines, just understand that's the typical Marxist line of class and race warfare. And that is exactly what all this environmentalism is. Many people have talked about how it is like a watermelon. It's got a thin veneer of green, and it's completely red on the inside, completely Marxist, completely socialist on the inside. You'd call them environmelons. Environmelonists is what they really are. But then we got Wolf Blitzer on CNN crying wolf about the hurricane. Here's Wolf Blitzer crying wolf, video two.
This unprecedented town hall is dedicated to the climate crisis, an issue many voters say needs aggressive action. And scientists say that action needs to happen now. We're seeing firsthand the effects of climate change as a powerful
hurricane is sitting
right now off the coast of Florida. It could make landfall tomorrow in South Carolina.
This is the biggest issue that they've had since flight 370 disappeared. Remember CNN? Well, maybe it was abducted by aliens. You know, they had the little plane, pew, 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 as they're flying it around. No, it's that, you know, we're seeing firsthand the effects of climate change, Blitzer says as he cries wolf. And then Bette Midler jumps in on this as well. Oh, it's all over the place. Somebody needs to tell CNN and Hollywood and the Democrats that this is not Mother Nature taking her revenge. That's what Bette Midler said. That's what Blitzer said. We're seeing firsthand the effects of climate change. And then she personifies this. Because, again, remember that one of the key things that affects their view of the world in Hollywood is the Gaia theory that came out by James Lovelock. He took this goddess, Gaia, from Greek mythology, and he tried to anthropomorphize the Earth. You know, Mother Earth. Well, it's a Gaia theory. And as I've mentioned before, when I took my kids to the Children's Museum back in 2001 in London, they had this loop playing, talking about how the Earth was this living organism, a sentient being, and how humans were a virus. And we had to be controlled. Wipe us out. And those were all themes in the Democrat, quote-unquote, debate last night. It's a town hall. There's no debate. They're all in agreement on this. Somebody needs to wake them up and tell them that James Lovelock, who pushed the Gaia theory, James Lovelock, who was one of the biggest advocates of man-made global warming, that was one of the things that all of us human viruses were doing to kill Mother Earth. He repudiated man-made global warming, man-made climate change. He repudiated that a couple of years ago. He said, yeah, it's nonsense. But you still got people like Jennifer Lawrence when she made her movie, you know, Mother! Exclamation mark. You know, like Jeb! Exclamation mark. They made that. And you've got Bette Midler saying that. You've also got Andrew Yang saying that. He said to CNN, it's better to report on Hurricane Dorian and the actual effects of climate change. See, Hurricane Dorian is the actual evidence of climate change. Because they don't have any other evidence. They don't have any data. They don't have any scientific data. All they do is they argue from the position of authority, just like we're talking about with vaccines. You want to say something about vaccines? You disagree with that? You're banned. You want to disagree with their narrative about climate change? You're banned. You're shadow banned or you're overtly banned. And then they put up their authority figures. Oh, we have scientists. Well, who are they? What do they say? You know, more importantly than who they are, what do they say? What is their evidence? Make the argument. Oh, I don't have to make the argument. They're authorities. You just listen to them and obey them, just like you obey the CDC. And so he says, they should focus, they should report on Hurricane Dorian and the actual effects of climate change rather than having us talk about climate change. We can always reschedule while Mother Nature is on her own timeline. Oh, yes. Yeah. Gaia theory again. And then occasional cortex jumps in. We either decarbonize and cut emissions or we let people die, she tweeted out. Pictures of Hurricane Dorian and said, this is exactly what climate change looks like. This is what it looks like. And she said, listen to this. It hits vulnerable communities first. Women and minorities hit the hardest. I remember back in the 1970s, National Lampoon, even though they were hard left, they had a headline, end of the world tomorrow. Women and minorities hit hardest. And so this is basically what AOC is doing without any sense of satire or absurdity. This is what climate change looks like, this hurricane, and it hits the vulnerable communities first. Women and minorities first. I can already hear the climate deniers screeching, she said. It's always been like this. You're dim. No, I'm not dim. I've actually lived in Florida, occasional cortex. I've actually seen this. I've seen a lot of hurricanes, more than one, as a matter of fact. Each year. No, she said, this is about science. See, she has science on her side. That magic wand. You just wave the word science. You don't have to explain it. And leadership. We have leadership on our side. We either decarbonize and cut emissions or we don't and we let people die. Well, they're very happy to let people die. As a matter of fact, Bernie Sanders, as I'm going to tell you when we come back, he jumped into population control. He's not afraid to go there, he said, as one questioner asked him from the audience. We'll play that clip for you. But before we leave the hurricane, remember, women and minorities hardest hit with a hurricane, with climate change. Unless you're talking about fighting back against President Trump diverting a mere $3 billion from the gigantic military budget that increased more than 20 times that the last each year, the last 2 years. That's only 5% of the increase in the military budget. And the Hill is out there saying the hurricane hit bases are among those losing funds to the Trump wall. And I got to ask, is it more important that we defend the military bases and protect them, or is it more important that we defend the country? Isn't that kind of what's already happened? You know, the government doesn't really care about defending and protecting you. They are circling the wagons and defending and protecting themselves. Same thing about the Pentagon. As a matter of fact, that's something it seems like they always did. Going back to the Cold War, the continuity of government, Red Rock, the program to protect the government employees and the military while the rest of us die in a war that they provoked. Yeah, yeah. We'll be right back with the information about how they want to solve this by taking away the population. Well, last night on CNN's climate town hall, Joe Biden had an interesting comment about what's going to be the result of his climate change plan. Let's play video clip number 6.
And the idea that now the one thing you do have to do, in my view, some people are going to be displaced. And they're going to some people in some industries are going to be more displaced than others. And you can't just say, well, what we're going to do is automatically you're going to all of a sudden make solar panels. Or because, you know, when you look at Fortune, they say they're the two biggest job creators coming down the road, solar and wind. Well, look what happened to our administration. We cut by an enormous amount of an enormous percentage the efficiency of being able to generate wind and solar energy. And we can do more than that. It's about what we can generate if we set our minds to it. We walk around like, oh, man, I don't know. What are we going to do? This is terrible.
Okay, now, if you could focus on what he was actually saying instead of his bleeding red eye. What he's basically saying is some people in some industries, he said, are going to be displaced in that speech. You know, kind of like what AOC said. You know, she said some people did some things and people died. No, that was Ilhan Omar, wasn't it? Yeah. Some people did some things. Well, you know, I guess you could say that if Democrats get elected, some people in some industries are going to lose their job. They're going to be displaced, though. He didn't say that. He didn't say lose your job. He didn't say we're going to shut down your entire industry. No, no, you're going to be displaced. Kind of reminds me of Ronald Reagan. He said, you know, a recession is when your neighbor loses their job. A depression is when you lose your job. Maybe displacement is when the Democrats get elected and you and your neighbor lose your job. And you not only lose your job, but you lose your air conditioning. You lose your car. You lose your meat. You lose your ability to travel and so forth. Yeah, all these things are displacements, aren't they? Not since Mao's Cultural Revolution have we seen such a sweeping proposal of Marxist austerity that we're now seeing being proposed by these Democrats in this town hall. But let's just take a look at some of the stuff that he had to say. He said, we have the best scientists in the world. Oh, yeah. See, they have science is on their side and the best scientists. And, you know, he didn't say all scientists, which is what they typically do. They're just the best. But we don't know what they have to say. He doesn't say that. He said, they have decided that enough is enough and we have to act. Listen to your authority figures. Just think what happens, he says, if we're able to move in a direction that where we have 500,000 charging stations for electric vehicles. Okay, let's think about that. As a matter of fact, there's an article up on Zero Hedge from oilprice.com. Electric vehicle makers face a major problem. You want to talk about charging stations and the wave of the future being electric vehicles? Let's talk about that a little bit. As oilprice.com says, if one listens to statements from car makers with ambitious electric vehicle plans, you're left with the impression that the world is in for a true automotive revolution. Yeah, it is a cultural revolution along the lines of Mao. Yeah. Reality, however, tends to be a little bit different. And now they are facing a new challenge, and that is the cost of recycling batteries. Oh, that's something we haven't thought about, right? The back end of all this. He says, last month, a senior VP for Volkswagen told Automotive News, we strongly believe the tipping point is near and that the tipping point will be price equity. Let me tell you when the tipping point was. The tipping point was when you had the U.S. government hit them with tens of billions of dollars of fines. Absolutely unprecedented for any industry or any automaker. I mean, we've had cases of severe criminal neglect where people died. You never saw those kind of fines. And Volkswagen did a very quick 180 into the EV, and they've turned into a big cheerleader. But according to Bloomberg, the surge in EV production would greatly increase the demand for battery raw materials. Cobalt, for example, demand will considerably exceed the current mined production. And that naturally brings recycling into view. If you can't mine it quickly enough to keep up with their projections, because what they're projecting is by 2030, there's that number again, 2030. Where'd they get that? From the UN. According to 2030, they expect the global fleet to feature 140 million electric vehicles. That's 140 million batteries, lots of batteries, for recycling, and they've got to do that in less than two decades. Where are they going to get all this, and how are they going to be able to do the recycling? Well, as they point out, you know, you have to get some of this stuff. Since you can't mine all the raw materials, you're going to have to get some of it from recycling. However, that's very expensive. And Bloomberg notes that the value of minerals extracted through recycling, since you can't mine them quickly enough, you're going to have to recycle them. It doesn't even cover the cost of the recycling process. Oh, this is a problem. So that means that if recycling is the only source for the additional 3 million tons of copper and other things like cobalt that they're going to need for the electric vehicles, and it's more expensive than mining, costs are going to go up as well. But it gets even worse than that. You know, Biden was talking about how he and Barack were getting everybody in on all these electric vehicles. Well, the General Accounting Office has now reported on those efforts, and they're not too impressed. Expensive all-electric cars are not worth buying, says the Government Accountability Office, because the cost and the infrastructure challenges involved. This was part of in response to a 2015 executive order from the Obama administration to force federal agencies to embrace hybrid vehicles, ethanol-powered, and all-electric cars, but the government auditors counted only 81 fully electric cars out of the 16,000 sedans and minivans added to the federal fleet in 2017. Nevertheless, they also found that they had spent $10.5 million more to purchase hybrid or electric vehicles than they would have to purchase comparably sized, conventionally fueled vehicles. This is reading directly from the GAO report. They said the problem is that these vehicles and their charging infrastructure make it a challenge for the agencies to acquire them. That's why they only got 81 fully electric vehicles. The rest of these that they paid an additional $10.5 million for are hybrid vehicles. And so they're sounding the warning and saying, this is not worth it for us to go down this road. And if you don't believe that, take a look at the report from the Times of India that was on whatsupwiththat.com. So he pointed out, first he was very concerned about solar panels and how they weren't really working out very well for him. He said, I was subsidized heavily. I got a taxpayer subsidy of $3,800, but it cost me over $10,000, almost $11,000 after a year's use. It's generated less electricity than I was promised. Instead of a six-year payback period, it'll now be 11 years. But that's only if he's got the money to maintain it and only if the inverter never goes bad and if the system somehow lasts for 11 years and if the tariffs don't reduce. He goes, talk about a way to burn money. And he goes, but what about large-scale solar projects? Again, going back to batteries. Batteries, he said, store almost no energy compared with regular fuel. In March of 2019, the Manhattan Institute showed that $200,000 worth of Tesla batteries, which collectively weigh over 20,000 pounds, are needed to store the energy equivalent of one barrel of oil. Do you hear that? $200,000 worth of batteries to store the amount of energy in one barrel of oil, and you still got to generate that energy. And it gets even worse when you look at the lack of capacity to build these imaginary batteries. They'll just shut us down. That's what they'll do. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Gerald Celente.
Decoding the mainstream propaganda. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Joining us now is Gerald Celente. And of course, you can find his Trends Journal, samples of Trends Journal, at his website, trendsresearch.com. You can find Gerald on Twitter at Gerald Celente. Gerald, thank you for joining us. Let's talk about what's going on in markets. We have seen a lot of moves towards gold, but today it's down a bit.
It's down a lot. It's down about $40. And wow. It needs a correction. When we sent out our trend alert on June 6th of this year, the gold bull run was $1,332. Now it's about $1,510. So it has a correction. But our forecast is still that gold, now that it's where it's at, it's going to move toward the $2,000 an ounce mark. The downside we see is about $1,400, which in futures markets at this level is very small. And what's going on now is that the markets are up solidly because, oh, they're going to have trade talks again. I mean, this is so ridiculous. It has nothing to do with that. It's just, here, David, take a look at what's going on in India. The new car sales numbers came out. They're only down about 69% in one of the companies, about 45% in the other company. They only had five negative quarters of GDP growth, and this is supposed to be the fastest growing economy. India. The one that they lowering interest rates four times in a row to juice more dough in there. That India. Does that have anything to do with a trade war? Zero. Yeah, look exactly. What's going on in Argentina. Hey, you should buy some of those pesos. They're not worth hardly anything. Have anything to do with the trade war? Oh, couldn't be the $57 billion that they got from the International Mafia Fed, excuse me, the International Monetary Fund. You know, it has nothing to do with trade wars. It's a global slowdown, and you well know it was on the David Knight Show several months ago that I have forecast we are moving toward the greatest depression.
Yes. Yes.
They're not talking about, are we going to go into a recession? What recession? We're going to go into the greatest depression. You just heard yesterday, Alan Greenspan, the bankster from way back when. Yeah, that Alan Greenspan, the Alan Greenspan that gave us the plunge protection team so they could rig the markets back in 1987 when they were going down. Oh, that Alan Greenspan. Yeah. That Alan Greenspan, the fraud, the phony, like all of the rest of the central banksters, he came out yesterday and said, get ready for negative interest rates.
Yep. Yep. Tell us what's up with that. I mean, who's going to buy a negative interest rate? They're trying to, are these the people who are trying to get government favors? I mean, why would you pay the government to loan them money? I mean, can I get a part of that deal? Can I get the credit card companies to pay me money for going into debt to the credit card companies instead of, 20 or 30% interest rates?
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. How about, David, you're a great guy. I've met you on your show a lot. I got a 30-year bond for you. When you cash it in 30 years, I'm going to give you less than what you paid for it. Oh,
yeah.
And by the way, there's $17 trillion, $17 trillion already this year bought in negative bond yields. So who's buying them?
Yeah, who is buying them?
The governments.
Yeah.
That's who's doing it. This is one big fraud. That's why gold prices are going up, because the smart money is putting their money in gold because they know that. And there are people buying negative yields because they're so concerned about the future. But that's what. Oh, we heard Ray Dalio, the head of Bridgewater Associates, the biggest hedge fund in the world. 2 weeks after I sent out that trend alert of the gold bull run, he almost parroted it. Now, You know what he came out with last week? What
did he say?
He's concerned we're going into a depression.
Oh,
yeah. I guess he's reading our Trends Journal and Trend Alerts, because he's parroting what we say weeks and months after we say it. And now, remember, they're all wondering, are we going to? No, it's not going to be a recession. The United States is going into it later than everybody else. The world is going into the greatest depression, much worse than the 1930s depression.
Mm. Yeah, I saw an article, I can't remember who it was, paralleling, looking at the economics and said, last time we've seen anything look like this, even remotely like this, was the 1930s. And this is worse than that, just what you just said. Yeah, exactly right.
And here's
it's
some
very
of the
frightening,
reasons
and we've never seen negative interest rates, have we? Or 100-year bonds that they're talking about?
They're making this crap up. These are the same central bankers, slimers, that gave us quantitative easing. And all you folks out there, I say folks because Obama used to say folks all the time while he was folking us left and right. How about, again, they've never had negative interest rates in the history of the world, part one or part two. And why this is going to be much worse than the Great Depression, we weren't $270 trillion in debt around the world. They didn't do all the scams before the last depression. Now all the scams have been done to artificially boost it up. So they didn't do that the last time. So now when this thing explodes, we're going to lower interest rates in the United States. The last time they lowered them, what happened? Well, they were up 5.5%. Now they only go down 2%. They're negative in Europe. They're negative in Japan. And by the way, put some of your money in a Swiss bank. This way you could get back minus 0.75%.
Wow.
Yeah,
and it's absolutely.
Put your money in a Swiss
bank. It makes me
so
angry. It makes me so angry, Gerald, when I look at this, that they're paying nobody any interest or even giving out negative interest rates. And yet you see the banks after they had the usury laws removed during the Carter administration. I mean, they're still charging people, you know, 20-30% on credit card loans and things like that. It's absolutely amazing. When you look at what's going on with the bonds, you know, going back to the Great Recession, as they called it, and all of these phony instruments that they created, the derivatives market around the housing mortgages and so forth. Now they're doing that with the actual bonds themselves, kind of the substrate, you know, the government bonds. They're playing games like they did when they invented the derivatives, aren't they? With all these 100-year bonds and negative interest rates and everything, it's looking very much like that. They just make this stuff up. It's garbage.
You got it. You're 100% correct. There's never been anything like this.
Yeah.
And that's why we're saying this is going to be the greatest depression. Mm. Nothing like it.
Wow.
And here,
well, you know, every time something happens, go ahead.
Go back to 1930. There were 2 billion people on the planet. We added 5.5 billion in less than 100 years. Mm. You think you got flows of people, waves of people leaving South America and Africa because of poverty, crime, corruption, and no future now? Wait until the greatest depression, a tsunami of people leaving, trying to go somewhere else to find some safety and some work. We're not prepared for this at all.
Yeah, and you know, I think their plan is to make sure that in America and Western Europe, they've got enough of a division that they've created with the massive inflow of people already. They want to make sure that they have divided the country so that we will blame each other and have a civil war. Instead of blaming the governments and coming after them, that we'll have an internal, so that they'll pit us against one another by the massive flood of immigration.
Well, they're doing it already, and it's just going to get much, much worse. Mm. And so imagine now, we have a migrant problem now.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen when economic conditions even get worse?
Yes.
And you have all of these people. And by the way, violence in this country is going to be off the charts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's why they got to get the guns, so we can't protect ourselves, right? And we're going to talk about what happened in Hong Kong when we come back, because one of the things that was happy news for the stock market today, they said, oh, look, you had Carrie Lam say she's going to remove that horrendous bill. We're going to talk about if anything really happened there. Yeah, the people stood up. A quarter of the city, 1.7 million people stood up for that. And it looked like they backed down, but did they really gain anything? And what's ahead? Welcome back. We're talking to Gerald Celente. And again, you can find his publication, Trends Research, at or Trends Journal, at trendsresearch.com. Gerald is always ahead of the curve, and you know, we need to listen to what he has to say. He's been proven right. You know, as he pointed out, a lot of people are now saying what he was saying many months ago. I don't know, was it 6 months ago that you were talking about a greater depression coming? We were talking about that in the last segment right here on this show, Gerald.
That's right.
But that's right. So 6 months ago, and now other people are saying, hey, you know, this is looking like 1930s again, except maybe worse. And that's what Gerald was saying 6 months ago. So if you really want to know where the trends are, go to trendsresearch.com, take a look at the sample there of Trends Journal, and you can subscribe to that there. You can also find Gerald on Twitter at Gerald Celente. And I wanted to move into what's going on with Hong Kong. I've always liked Hong Kong. I had the privilege of being there when we adopted my daughter out of China. And I got to say, it's one of the nicest, friendliest towns I've ever been in, especially for a big city. Millions of people, and 1.7 million of them took to the street to protest this extradition law. And it has now been finally removed. And maybe, Gerald, one of the reasons why the stock market is up, because you know, they're always looking for something that's good news or whatever so they can sell to the retail schmucks out there. I said, oh, look, good news. The stocks are soaring because Hong Kong's Carrie Lam unexpectedly withdrew this extradition bill. What do you think about that?
Well, China did it. You know, they realized it's not worth the fight. It means nothing. And they wanted to cool it down because, you know, Hong Kong, as you well know, you know, that's the banks, the central banksters and all the banksters hub to all of Asia. HSBC. Mm-hmm. How about that one?
You know? Yeah.
Hong Kong. And yeah. So they cooled it down. But the reality is that China will take it over anytime, anywhere, anyhow. The big story to me about that is, though, look at the difference. You mentioned 1.7 million people out of what, 7.4 million took to the streets in the rain, right?
Yeah.
In the United States, it's a big deal when they put on pink pussy hats for one day and get a million people out in a country, 320 million people.
That's right.
There's silence in this country. There's no fight. You know why? Because they turned everybody into little nothings, little boys and girls. You know, David, we're going to have a no bullying zone. Don't learn how to protect yourself. Don't learn how to stand up and fight. We'll take care of you. We'll show you what to do.
Yeah, so, and these people have done this before. You know, when they tried to impose a curriculum to propagandize their kids, they rose up and revolted against that as well. They have experienced true freedom. You remember as well as I do Milton Friedman's series back in the 1980s, Free to Choose. And he kept going back to Hong Kong as an example of the freest country in the world. When you see people who are coming from a free place like Hong Kong, or people who are coming from a communist-ruled country like Cuba or Eastern Europe, they appreciate freedom. We don't appreciate it anymore here in the United States.
Well, we don't, because they've taken it away from us.
Yeah.
Where do you have freedom? They're watching everything. They're listening to everything. They censor everybody. They feel you up at the airport. Oh, yeah, look at this guy. You know, he must have a bomb up his you-know-what. Let me stick my finger up there and find out. I mean, look at the crap. What freedom? It's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone in this country. The people bend over and take it. And the reason the people in Hong Kong want to fight against China, because they don't dig the Chinese coming in, like they are doing now, it's a whole different culture.
Yeah, that's
they're
right. They're used to the freedom.
About what's happened.
And it's kind of interesting to me to see on the same day after, you know, a quarter of the people, you know, in Hong Kong, 1.7 million people take to the streets to do this, and the Chinese Communist government's sock puppet there, Carrie Lam, she's not elected by they call her the Hong Kong leader, but she's not elected by the people of Hong Kong. She's appointed by the Communist Chinese. After they back down somewhat, on that very same day, we see the politicians in the UK thumb their nose at Brexit yet again. And nobody in the UK is doing anything about it. I mean, they just take it. The politicians say, well, you voted for this. We don't care.
We don't care. You know what these politicians forget? Two simple words. Public servant.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think about it. Every time a president, a prime minister, they visit, they roll out the red carpet. All these guys and girls get dressed up in their military drag uniforms of whatever day, and they all salute. Yeah, here's a salute for you. Who made this crap up? Every one of them, from the presidents to the prime ministers to the chancellors to the senators to the congressmen. They're public servants, but they've changed it. Now they're the masters, and we're just the workers of Slavelandia because all they represent are the multinationals.
That's right. That's right. You know, we had a concept in the early days of the founding of this country. They referred to it as Lex Rex. The law is king. And that's why these people, once they get elected, they swear to allegiance to the Constitution, because the Constitution is really the superior authority to them. That's something that goes all the way back to the Magna Carta, where they had the king bow before the Magna Carta, before the nobleman who put that out there. He was subject to the law, but now in the American government, they're not subject to the law anymore. Nobody ever holds them accountable. We don't hold them accountable. They do exactly as they wish. It's as if there was no Constitution that they ever swore to. And they are kind of like the people that are temporary stewards. But they have now usurped this authority over the king, haven't they?
Oh, look at it. I mean, you talk about breaking the law. How about the war criminal George W. Bush? How about that little lying piece of garbage crap along with Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Colin Powell? And you know what a colon is. Crap goes down the colon. I got the proof over here that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. How about these criminals that spend trillions of our dollars to kill millions of people, and boy, the media loves them and pumps them up But make sure, David, don't go over the speed limit. Make sure your signal light's on when you turn. How many drinks did you have? Get out of the car, stand on your head, and repeat the alphabet backwards in the USSA.
That's right. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing when you look at that. And it looks like we're not going to be able to get out of any of these wars. You know, one of the things that really bothers me, too, Gerald, is the fact that all of those lies about weapons of mass destruction that was shipped around. Some of the people were deceived about that initially. They realized that they'd been deceived when they realized that it was the product of torture. Gina Haspel covered up she destroyed the videotape. She covered up that torture. And she was rewarded by President Trump to be put in charge of the CIA for covering up the lies that he criticized that got us into Iraq. She was the one who sold that intelligence to people. She knew it was based on torture. Everybody, since they realized it was based on torture, that's when they knew it was a lie.
Yeah, and again, he was gonna drain the swamp, and he brought the swamp creatures back in. How about Bolton?
Oh, yeah.
Look at that clown. Yeah, one after another. So nothing is going to change to me. This is where I am at the point. Until we bring beauty back, and you cannot create beauty in a state of fear and terror. There was a thing called the Renaissance. Why did they have the Renaissance? Well, it followed the Black Plague in Europe. What, 60% were wiped out? Duh, maybe we're doing something wrong. Let's go back to the past. A la Romana, a la Antica, in the manner of the Romans and the ancients. We have to create beauty again. That's my belief. And you cannot do it in a state of war. Because from beauty, then elegance, grace, prosperity, it all follows. And it's gone right now.
Yeah, yeah. There is absolutely no constraint on anything that government can do. And it brings out the absolute worst in people if there is no constraint on them. And I think one of the key things that constrained the societies of Northern Europe and the United States was a fear of God. There is no fear of God in these people. They don't fear God. They don't fear the law. They don't fear the people. They do exactly what they wish. And they're rolling this out, combining this with high tech. It's a very, very concerning time. Thank you so much, Gerald Celente. Again, you can find Gerald at trendsresearch.com. You can see Trends Journal. You can also find Gerald on Twitter at Gerald Celente. And really quickly, before we go to break, I just want to remind you all that you can find us now at band.video. I said it wrong earlier. I said band.live. No, it's band.video is where you're going to find the uncensored videos of Gerald and everything that we do here at InfoWars. And folks, if you want to support us and make sure that we can continue to keep this program and our websites up, take a look at the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. We got 50% off DNA Force Plus right now, as well as a free bottle of Carnivore 90. Also, we have 25% off of Super Male Vitality and a free bottle of Carnivore 30. Take a look at those specials. That's a massive special. And we also have a new product, Super Silver Skin Cream. You're going to love that. InfoWarsStore.com.
Reverse engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Yeah, last night we had the CNN town hall. And besides pushing population control, tens of trillions of dollars in new subsidies and a Marxist austerity program that's going to make the Cultural Revolution look like a picnic. They were also talking about cutting out meat. And we've got an interesting case of an individual who is taking her neighbors to court in Australia. I can't enjoy my backyard, she says. She wants the court to force her neighbors to stop barbecuing meat because she said the smells are impacting her sleep. I bet they are. I bet they're making her so hungry. If I was her neighbors, I'd be out there barbecuing bacon all the time. I'd be really torturing her with the smell of great barbecued meat. But, it's absolutely amazing. And as Daily Mail points out, she goes to court. She's wearing a leather skirt, and an animal print top. Of course, it was just an animal print. It was not real animal. It was fake, kind of like her you know, her virtue signaling. And they had thousands of people attend a barbecue outside of the home of the vegan who sued her neighbors over smelly meat. So don't say that we never get back in people's faces. You know, they had more than 3,000 people are going to be attending a cookout outside her home. It's organized on a Facebook page. And I'm surprised that Facebook didn't shut this down. I mean, you know, that's just terrible that somebody would taunt a vegan like that. A vegan who wants to tell other people what they can and cannot eat. You know, kind of like the Democrats, all the Democrats last night. Remember when AOC came out with the Green New Deal? She said, you're not going to have any cars, you're not going to be flying on any airplanes, and you're not going to have any meat. And Nancy Pelosi's like, shh, don't say that. Don't tell them. You let that out of the bag. You're not supposed to tell them that yet. We got to wait until 2030, until everything is melted down and we've imposed this austerity program on it. We don't want them to know exactly where this is going right now. Oh, yeah, that's exactly where they're going. Exactly where they're. And it actually gets worse than that. Climate Depot, an article here about a professor. And this is, as he points out, this is not a story from The Onion. This is a Swedish professor suggesting that we may need to solve our nutrition problems by turning to cannibalism. I guess we should start calling it the Soylent Green New Deal, right? Why is it that every dystopian movie and novel has to become part of the Democrat Party's platform? These people, it's like nothing that they see that isn't a nightmare that they don't say, I think we could do that here. And that's exactly what they're doing. Yeah, we're going to have to, this is a conference about the food of the future. They called it the Gastro Summit. You just can't make this stuff up. This is not The Onion. This is not the Babylon Bee. This is actual fact. You've got a Swedish, Stockholm, Sweden, you know, Stockholm syndrome right there. You're going to have to, eat your neighbor here. And then this story from RT, talking about vegans, talking about vegan vigilantes, the militant vegan vigilantes. You know, we've got these poor vegans who went to YouTube, they earned millions of dollars, and then they quit, and they started eating eggs and meat again. And boy, you would not believe how they got trolled and hated by the other militant vegan vigilantes who are out there watching everything that they do. They really hated that. And I just have to say to these people, you got to calm down a little bit, because the BBC is reporting that vegans and vegetarians may have higher stroke risk. And this isn't even referring to their tempers. This is referring to what they eat. Yeah, relax. Put another shrimp on the Barbie and do it in front of the house of that lady who is suing her neighbors because they're barbecuing meat. This is the cancel culture, the intolerant left, and they're coming for you. There's no joke about that. They're coming for you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Let's go back to last night's CNN town hall on climate. Again, it's not a debate. It's a town hall. And these people are looking to make a haul, H-A-U-L, from special interests and subsidies. They're going to decide in typical central planning Marxist socialist style who the winners and the losers are. They know better than you. They know better than you. And nobody knows better than you than Elizabeth Warren. She is the ultimate school marm, isn't she? I mean, this, the arrogance and the condescension of Elizabeth Warren, every time I see her on television, she reminds me of my least favorite teacher ever. But fortunately, I can just turn her off for now. And let's hope that we don't have to watch her for years and years. Here's what she had to say last night. Let's run video clip number 7.
We have a little video here.
I've been to Port Arthur.
You've been to Port Arthur, then you know what it looks like. This is the Motiva oil refinery. It is the biggest in the world, or at least in North America. Mm-hmm. It is in Port Arthur, but it's owned by a Saudi Arabian company that made more profit, twice as much profit as Apple Computers last year. Mm-hmm. Although right next door, I met a family in a $60,000 house that can't afford to fix the mold from Harvey.
A little bit of class warfare thrown in there for background.
They understand the problems. They would tell you, please don't shut them down because I will die of starvation before I die of pollution. They're worried about jobs. And so what do you tell the pipe fitters and the cafeteria workers in Port Arthur? What will happen to them if these places go dark?
So I would say two things to them. The first one is, that's not the only job in Port Arthur over the next 20 years. I've seen Port Arthur. Port Arthur is going to need a lot of infrastructure rebuilding and strengthening. It's going to need a lot of help right on the water. Those are good jobs. Those are union jobs. Those are skilled jobs. We have a lot of work to do, and I hope the workers in Port Arthur will be a big part of that.
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, he said, what are you going to say to the pipe fitters and the cafeteria workers? He didn't necessarily say, what are you going to say to the people who work for the company there that's doing the oil refinery? I mean, when you shut down a core industry like that, just like when you go into West Virginia, you say, we're going to shut down the coal mines. Well, you also shut down all the restaurants. You shut down, you make everybody's homes worthless. You shut down all of the core industry that's there, whether you're talking about coal mines. We've seen it happen in Detroit. You know, as the automobile industry collapses there, what happened to the entire community? The entire thing went down. You build value not by doing each other's laundry. I remember back in the 1990s, you know, where they're talking about NAFTA and everything, and they were moving all of our industry to China. They said, it's okay. It's okay. All these people that are now telling us that it's all right for YouTube and Google and Facebook to control our speech because they're private companies, they were all telling us at the time, you don't want to do those difficult factory jobs. They're dirty. It's hard work. You want the slave labor from China. Don't you want that? I mean, they're going to make that stuff for you, and they're going to do it dirt cheap, and you're going to be able to get all that stuff here. It's going to be great. And so, you know, we said, all right, yeah, we'll let them enslave the people in China and make, you know, the multinational corporations rich. And that's really what happened. And then we wind up with a service economy, you know, where we go out with a gig economy. We don't even have full-time jobs anymore. There's no mom-and-pop service companies around anymore. You know, Walmart has pretty much put out all the small retail businesses and so forth. And the hardware stores have been put out of business by the kind of strategy that was put together by Mitt Romney on Wall Street. You know, they could essentially get unlimited funding, and they could run these corporations for decades without ever turning a profit. I know back in the day, you know, back in the 1980s, I was competing against Blockbuster Video. They never had to make any money. And they could just get infinite funding on Wall Street. And the mom and pop businesses out there are struggling because we don't have access to infinite money. We can't print it like we're the Federal Reserve, but the people who go to Wall Street for funding can't. But when you look at a situation like this, these Democrats have absolutely no concern. That's why I said this is like the Cultural Revolution that they're proposing. This Soylent Green New Deal. No meat, you're going to eat human flesh. That's what they're talking about now, right? You know, you're not going to have any energy, any infrastructure. You're not going to have any industry either. And so the questioner says, well, what are you going to say to the pipe fitters and to the cafeteria workers? What's going to happen to them? She goes, well, that's not the only job in Port Arthur. What? And he gave her two different jobs that were indirectly tied to that. Well, that's not the only job. Well, if you take down the core industry that is manufacturing something, when you manufacture cars or when you manufacture energy or whatever, you are building something of value. And the entire infrastructure there, the economy there, is based on that one thing. You kill that, you kill the entire town. And she said, Port Arthur is going to need a lot of infrastructure rebuilding. And I would ask her, why? Why do they need an infrastructure when they've got no industry? If you got no industry there that's generating something, that's manufacturing something, why do you need a cafeteria worker? Why do you need an infrastructure? I just join the gig economy and make $20,000 a year. And then she also says to the utility companies that are using carbon-based fuel, sorry, guys, by 2035, you're done. Let me tell you something. It's not 2035. It's 2030. They keep moving the deadline closer and closer. I talked in Europe about banning all automobiles. You know, it's going to be 2050, and then it's going to be 2040, and then it's 2035, and now they're saying 2030. Oh, yeah. Well, where'd they get that number from? They keep coming back to that. She said in that segment, they said, as president, would you be willing to call out capitalism in this way and advocate for the public ownership of our utilities in the way that Bernie Sanders does? She said, gosh, I'm not sure that's what you get, how you get to the solution. I'll simply tell these guys, sorry, guys, but by 2035, you're done. You're not going to be using any more carbon-based fuel. That gets us to the right place because, Elizabeth Warren wants to pretend that she doesn't like big corporations, and yet the big corporations, the big banks, are her biggest donors. She created that Consumer Protection Financial Board, and yet the bankers love her. Why is that? Well, it's because that bureaucracy that she's so proud of that she created drove small to medium-sized banks pretty much out of business so the big banks could consolidate. That's really what regulation is about. That's how they love to use that. And not only that, but she's going to not only take your energy, as she just pointed out there, your air conditioning, your ability to not only have a nice lifestyle, but it actually affects the length of your life, your life expectancy. So they're going to take your energy. They're going to take your job. And what's she going to give you in return? Well, she said yesterday she wants a carbon tax. I'll take your energy. I'll take your job. And here's what I'm going to give you in return. A tax. A tax and a debt. Yeah, a carbon tax. You got to clean up your own messes, she said, and that means if you're going to be spewing carbon into the air and messing up the air for the rest of us, it's your responsibility to clean it up. They always like to call it carbon, don't they? Carbon what? Is it carbon dioxide? Oh, yeah, carbon dioxide. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to die if you breathe it, right? That means that's what you breathe out. And all these people who are panicking about the Amazon, that's the lungs of the planet. How is that the lungs of the plant? Well, the green vegetation down there takes in carbon dioxide and it puts out oxygen. And the more carbon dioxide you have, the more those plants like it. So maybe that's the way that this whole thing was designed to work. Looks like it works pretty well, don't you think? I think it looks like it's working exactly the way that it's supposed to work. But she keeps talking about carbon. She keeps talking about taxes because that's what Democrats do. All right, stay with us. We're going to be right back. Tom Papert is going to be joining us in studio. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. Joining me in the studio right now is Tom Papert, and you can find him at National File, F-I-L-E, nationalfile.com, and also on Twitter at National File. Tom has a breaking article giving us more background on this very worrisome program called HARPA. We've been harping on HARPA for this entire weekend. It is something that we need to pay attention to. Very concerning how this is working out, and I've talked about the connection to the Susan Wright group and how Susan Wright is trying to seize Ivanka as her end to push this to President Trump, what HARPA is about and so forth. But this has some direct connections, as you've found in your article and your research, to the Obama administration as well.
That's exactly right. It's got Obama all over it. It's got fake news all over it. NBC is essentially quarterbacking this thing. The Bob Wright, of course, former chairman of both General Electric and the CEO of NBC News. I mean, you can't make this type of stuff up. He also donated $2,000 to Chuck Schumer. He's big with the Democrats. And it goes further than that. We have a man by the name of Dick Geffert, who was actually a House Majority Leader.
Oh, yeah, Richard Gephardt. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. That's right. Until in the mid-90s through 2003.
I didn't know he was still alive.
Well, here he is. He's trying to take your guns.
So we got a zombie Democrat trying to enact an authoritarian surveillance system. And, you know, when we talk about it being a red flag situation, I mean, it's beyond...
It really is.
...a red flag, because as we've been talking about this red flag stuff for quite some time, the thing that really worries me, and I've said this from the very beginning, you know, when we go back to the Parkland shooting, you had the NRA and a lot of establishment Republicans said, you know, we can pivot away from guns a little bit by changing the focus over here to mental health.
Right.
And I said, be careful about that.
Right.
Because that's always been the way that you come after political dissonance in a tyranny. I mean, look at Stalin's, you know, Soviet Union. You know, if you criticize a government, you were by definition crazy.
Right. A schizophrenic.
Going to send you off.
You could be taken to the gulag.
That's right.
That's exactly.
So now we've got Google and we got LifeLog, Facebook, that are going to be doing the same type of thing for us. And it's not really the guns that they're after. I mean, because, you know, they'll come to the guns.
Right.
But they really want to come after the political dissidents.
That's exactly right.
And you're dangerous if you say certain things. If you don't agree with the government, you're dangerous. And it's not enough to silence you. They're going to have to take you away.
That's exactly. Well, and what's interesting is the ways that they're going to do this. I mean, Stalin would, I expect him fully to spring from the grave in excitement over this type of stuff. Because they're going to be using Alexa. They're going to be using your Fitbit. They're going to be using your Google device. We all know these have microphones in them. We all know they monitor us. It hasn't been proven per se. But now we essentially have HARPA coming out to say this is exactly the technology that we need to monitor people inside their own homes, see what they're thinking, listen to their heartbeat, figure out the profile of a mass shooter, and use that to take their guns away. And as you say, we all know this isn't about guns. We all know this isn't about keeping people safe. That's, I'm sure, how it's being pitched to President Trump, which our reports indicate he is actually going to go for this. He actually thinks it might be a good idea. That's why it's so important to have people like you.
Well, it's also important for people to understand that this has been rolling out for a long time. Now, you talked about the connections to Dick Gephardt, who's, you know, been out of power, but a lobbyist, you know, for decades. But it goes back to how this has been gradually rolling out. I take it back to the 1960s, you know, when DARPA first started talking about a psychologist there, J.C.R. Licklider, said, hey, you know, we could come up with this thing called the Intergalactic Computer Network.
Right.
And so it's always envisioned, I believe, as a tool of psychological control, manipulation, and feedback of what the public is. You know, you feed them a narrative just like they were able to do with a monopoly on three networks.
That's right.
And but now it's even better because they can monitor your response and they can do so many other things. But, you know, when we go back and just look a few years ago at how desperate they were to pass CISPA. And I said at the time, I said, it's because they're going to be using private companies to as surveillance, because they can pretend that if it's a private company surveilling you, that they aren't breaking the law, just like they pretend that if it's a private company censoring your speech, they're not violating the law. And I see that from Reason Magazine. That's the headline there from Jacob Sullum.
Right.
You know, YouTube is not the government, so shut up. It's not a problem.
Right. That's the new libertarian argument, that who cares if your throat is
not this libertarian's argument. I still support liberty. I don't know what these guys are. I think they've been co-opted by the Koch brothers.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, and I'm from Koch City, Wichita, Kansas. So they are definitely doing their best to co-opt these people. But that is, and you know what I mean, of course, normal libertarians. We were Trump supporters for a while. I come from the Ron Paul crowd. And I still want to support President Donald Trump. But it's making it rather difficult when he's doing all of these things that will shred what little is left of the Constitution. But no, you're absolutely right. That's the new argument. Who cares if it's big business, when really we know it's all public information, that most of these tech companies were funded by the government, were helped created by the government. And if not that, they are working in some sort of cartel-like fashion to keep control. And where is the government? They're supposed to stamp this out. What happened to the government that broke up the oil companies, that broke up AT&T, that threatened to break up Microsoft? Suddenly, very, very silent, because they are using all of these tools. And again, it's now in the white paper for this new program that they're going to use to take our guns and imprison us. What was it that Stalin called it? Nervous schizophrenia or something like that? That's exactly what we're getting to here in the United States. But unlike with Stalin, where they had to pay people to, you know, you'd have somebody outside your window looking in at 3 a.m. What's he doing? Is he up? Is he dissenting against the state? We don't need that anymore. It's in your smart TV. It's in your Alexa. Play us some music for me. It's in all of these different things. It is beyond Orwellian. Orwell could not.
It is very much like what the Stasi did. Again, you know, we found out after the fact that, after East Germany collapsed, and they go back and they get the Stasi files. I remember I actually tried to get the lady on. She didn't want to come on because, you know, she didn't like my politics, so she wouldn't come on and talk about it. She actually wrote an article. This is somebody who actually loved communism so much that she moved to East Germany. She married an East German, but they were suspicious of her because she was from the West, even though she loved it more than the people that lived there.
Of course.
And she said, you know, it was very strange because when I would deal with people on a one-to-one basis, they were just so nice until you came to them in their official capacity in a butcher shop or at the post office. And once they got there, it's like, I have power.
Right.
Okay. It's the only time they had power, and they would really lord it over you. And then what really got her upset, and the reason why she wrote this, was as they went back and they found the Stasi files, she realized that they were investigating her. She loved East Germany. They were investigating her. They were investigating her husband and so forth. And it's like, I can't believe you guys investigate. And they found that more than half of the people were spying on, more than half were spies for the Stasi.
That's right.
And yet, when you look at this story that came out yesterday about YouTube, bragging about, you know, not even a week after the CEO was talking about how tolerant and open they were going to be. And I said, she's lying. And then they banned me a day or so later.
Right.
But, you know, they're then a week later, they're bragging about how they shut down 17,000 channels in one quarter, how they took down 100,000 videos and how they stopped 500 million comments. And then they talk about the army of 10,000 individuals, because they like to pretend this is all going to be by algorithm, right? Because that's going to be, oh, it'll be neutral. It's going to be a computer doing this. No, no, no. These are people with their personal prejudices and biases
right.
that are working for Google, and it's an army of 10,000 people. They call it their intelligence desk. Now, what kind of Orwellian doublespeak is that? They are intelligence, aren't they?
No, that's exactly 100% right. And well, then that's the thing that I think is starting to become more popular in the mainstream consciousness, because you don't just build an algorithm and it's perfect and it's unbiased and you don't have to worry about it. These algorithms are constructed by people. It's just like climate change. You put something in to get the result that you want.
The algorithms are biased and they are a beard, because there really is a massive Stasi state that's there. Oh, it's not the government. YouTube's not the government. No, actually, they're worse. They're more efficient than the government ever could be. We'll be right back with Tom Papert. Stay with us.
Decoding the mainstream propaganda. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking to Tom Papert. He's here in studio with us. And you can find him on Twitter at National File, F-I-L-E, National File. You can also find his website at nationalfile.com. And we've been talking about a breaking story they have there, breaking down furthermore the relationships and the people who are behind this HARPA bureaucracy that's being proposed, modeled after DARPA, the people who created the internet in the first place so they could use that as a tool of geospatial intelligence, the fastest growing part of our intelligence agency. And now they're going to go full circle. You know, after they put this thing out there and collect the information on you, now they're going to apply that not only as a social credit score, that'll be done as well, like they're doing in China, but they're going to use it first to red flag you as a gun owner, then to red flag you as a political dissident. But tell us a little bit more, Tom, about some of the people behind this. You mentioned that we had Dick Gephardt, former congressman. He was, I think, what was he, majority leader?
Majority leader from 89 to 95, then minority leader until 2003. They even considered, you know, in the running between Joe Biden, who I hope the poor guy has recovered, that poor eye, but when Barack Obama was looking for a VP, it could have been that individual who is not coming to take our guns. So it's very fascinating how high up these people are. Mike Stebbins is also listed on the HARPA site as the former assistant director of biotechnology for the White House. That was under Barack Obama. He also worked as a senior research fellow for Senator Harry Reid. Then you go to Herb Pardes, who is also on the board of HARPA. This guy is called the king of forming psychopharma front groups. So they're going to use these listening devices. I mean, you can just tell by the people they have involved. They're going to listen to you. They're going to wait until you say something crazy at 2 a.m. like, I love the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to say, he needs psychotropic drugs. We need to get him on. He needs Prozac. He's depressed. He's depressed. America is not what it used to be. We're losing all of our constitutional freedoms. The only solution is Prozac here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's totally insane. This guy...
Well, and this this, I think, shows us something else, too, about the Obama administration. They were so anxious to get Obamacare in. And I've said from the very beginning, this is an instrument of control. Anytime you become dependent on the government, and that's what they want with their single-payer system, they want everybody to be dependent on them for health care. And take a look at how that's been weaponized against people who choose not to take vaccines. Well, you're not going to get an education, or you're not going to get this, and they will withhold health care from you.
Right.
So it has always been a tool of control, but they're going to use this as a tool of psychological control. They're going to use it as a tool of gun control. And President Trump needs to understand these people are all Democrats, where this is coming from.
That's exactly
And it's being sold to him by his Democrat daughter, Ivanka, who is, let's understand, she went to all the same schools as Chelsea Clinton. You know, it's like the Patty Duke show. You know, they walk alike, they talk alike. You know, you could lose your mind, right? When first daughters are two of a kind.
Well, and you know, I want to like Ivanka, but ever since, I think you were there at the RNC in 2016 with me, and she gets up there and she's talking about paid maternity leave and saying that this is a Republican issue. And I mean, I'm sure you've been a business owner, at least in the higher level of business. Mm-hmm. I've been a business owner, and I have nothing against hiring women. I love women, some of the best employees, some of the best InfoWars employees. But it's like, that's not the workplace. You don't take 6 months off out of the year. So that was the first red flag, so to speak, I had with Ivanka. And it's
something
just,
you negotiate as a benefit, as part of your employee contract with them. I mean, that's, if you don't like the benefits, you go work for somebody else.
That's
but you
exactly
mandate
right.
benefits like this. Basically, what you're doing is it's a kind of, you know, oh, well, it's private companies that are doing it. We're mandating it that they have to do this.
Right.
You know, just like they're talking about, well, they're kind of backdoor mandating the censorship and data collection and so forth because it's a partnership. There's something in it for all these corporations. I mean, look at how Amazon, Alexa, Ring, all these different things are being done, and they are working on a facial surveillance network they're selling to the police. They're providing a database to the Pentagon and so forth. I mean, they're completely interwoven with the military-industrial complex and the police state, surveillance state.
And so it makes me wonder, David, does she understand this, or is she blind to it? And I think that it may be the former. I mean, what was she doing?
I don't really care.
That's exactly right.
I don't really care what their motivation is. She's absolutely wrong.
She's being used as a tool. Yeah. And I just wish, Mr. President, if you happen to catch this broadcast, listen to your eldest son, not the daughter for a change.
Yeah.
John Jr.
Yeah.
is completely with us on guns, but I'm sure you know what it's like when you've got the daughter versus the son dynamic. I imagine it's incredibly hard for him to get his two cents in. But I mean, this is the most serious and egregious thing that's ever happened. And it always happens, as you know, David, it always happens on a Republican's watch because Democrats, we are all unified in our opposition.
That's right. That's
that
right.
When a Republican gets
it's
in,
very
it's
dangerous.
Gonna happen. That's
it's
right.
Very dangerous because we give them a pass.
Right.
And I hear this over and over again. Give him a pass. He knows what he's doing. He's playing 4D chess. And it's like, I don't think so.
You know,
I think you're being played. I think you're the pawn
right.
in all of this.
I think sometimes he may be. Sometimes he's doing things on Twitter that we don't see the back end of. But there is absolutely no way that anybody can tell me that having my Amazon Echo, which I do not have, just for references, having my Amazon Echo turned into a government listening device so they know when to come in with the no-knock raid at 2 a.m., shoot my dog, and take my guns. There is no way you can sell this to me as 4D chess. There is no way you can sell
it
to me.
That's right. And when you talk about, again, well, we got to take the guns and do the due process later, or this is on the table or whatever. No, right. Our rights are not on the table. The Constitution is not on the table.
That's right.
We have a constitutional amendment that says you will not infringe on this. That means coming around the edge, slicing it off bit by bit.
That's right.
So if you want to do something, you start by repealing the Second Amendment. You got the votes to do that. We'll talk about what's going to come next. You want to have a constitutional convention to take that? I mean, a lot of people are pushing that.
That's
I don't want to see a constitutional convention. I don't want to see this taken away. But if you don't take that away, then you have basically taken away your legitimate authority if you ignore the Constitution that you swore to.
Right.
And that's the real issue here. And President Trump has already gone far beyond Obama mm-hmm. in terms of setting a precedent of gun control when by executive order mm-hmm. he had the ATF that works for him regulate something that was an attachment that's never been done. So we've never had an attachment regulated, and we've never had gun regulation by executive order. And I said when he did that, I said, watch, the Democrats are going to pick this up, and Kamala Harris did. She said, well, I'm going to give them 100 days to take guns, and if they don't, I'm going to do it by executive order.
That's
if
exactly
I'm elected
right.
president. They all will. He set a very dangerous precedent, not only by what he is saying, but by what he has already done. And so I'm very concerned about what's going on with this HARPA thing.
That's exactly right. Well, and that's the exact point I made when he gave lip service to red flag laws just a couple weeks ago. And, of course, the blowback from that was so severe. I think there are a lot of people who just give him a pass and they go along and they say he's doing 3D, 4D, 5D, 27D chess. There are a lot of people who say that. But even with that, the NRA did their focus testing and they said there's no way this is going to lose us the election. You have to back off of it. But just by saying that, now it is in the mainstream. Now it seems logical. Mm-hmm. Now it's something that we can do.
You move the ball down the field for the Democrats.
That's
by
right.
saying, this is on the table. We can do this. We should think about this.
That's exactly
that's the
right.
really dangerous thing about it. That's why it is not a smart negotiating tactic, whether or not he does it, to troll people. But I have to say, you know, we go back again. I've mentioned this before. Patrick Henry said, guard the precious jewel of liberty and regard with suspicion anybody who approaches it. And that means the same guy from your political party. The founders didn't like political parties. They didn't right. like that kind of partisanship because they wanted you to look at the man and look at his actions and not be blinded by that initial that follows their name. And
that's
we shouldn't
right.
be blinded by that.
Well, and I think part of what the frustration is, I mean, for the entirety of my life, I'm guessing most of everybody watching this broadcast life, the Republicans were no different than the Democrats. The Republicans were no better than
That's
the
right.
Democrats. We finally get somebody, President Trump, who is holding these people accountable. He is trying to speak to their power. He's trying to take away their power. But the fact is, the man is fallible. He's human just like That's the right. rest of us. And being a sycophant and a cultist is not going to serve us. That if we would have done that, we might as well have elected Jeb Bush because they would be indistinguishable.
Well, and the thing is, you know, our responsibility as citizens, our responsibility as journalists is to push back when he's being pushed by all these people with the Democrat Party. You know, when you had this this organization, HARPA, you know, filled with people from the Democrat Party, from mainstream media, from pharmaceutical companies and everything, pushing this at him through his daughter, we better push back pretty hard.
That's
because
exactly right.
if we don't, they're going to turn him if they haven't already turned him.
That's exactly right. And there is nothing wrong with that. There is nothing un-American. There's nothing unpatriotic. You can still support Trump and
That's
say
right.
this is a step too far. He needs people to be in his ear saying this. If there is not a massive backlash, then guess what? Your smart TV is now going to report to the feds and they're going to take your guns. That's just where we're at.
I support President Trump doing what he said he was going to do. And that's
right.
what we want to encourage him very strongly to do that. We'll be right back with Tom Papert. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're talking to Tom Papert. He's here in studio. And, of course, you can find him at National File, F-I-L-E, nationalfile.com, and on Twitter at National File. And we've been talking about the massive Democrat establishment and mainstream media, especially NBC connections, behind HARPA, behind the Susan Wright Foundation. And, you know, this is the layer underneath it. You need to understand where this is coming from, and you need to understand how these people are coming at President Trump. You know, first they put together this organization. That organization goes to Ivanka. She wants to save the little kids. She doesn't understand firearms. She's been to all the elite liberal schools that Chelsea Clinton's been at. They don't understand what guns are about. She is not Donald Trump Jr., but she is coming at President Trump. And, of course, in the past, we've seen Ivanka be able to prod him into falling for these Syrian false flags. So it's a very concerning situation. I want to get into, with Tom here, this story that broke this morning about the European Union fining YouTube. That's not a big fine. It's $170 million. I mean, this is like their budget for sushi or something at the home office. This is not a big fine. But what's really going on here is that they are coming after children. Yeah, it's kind of I'll put it this way, child trafficking. And I'll explain why I call it that in just a moment. But before I do, real quickly, I want to tell you about the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com because that's what funds this program and everything that we do here. It's what allows us to set up the new website, band.video, where you can see the videos that YouTube doesn't want you to see. The videos that Google doesn't want you to find, well, you can find them at band.video. And what funds us, of course, are the products we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. And we've got some great specials. DNA Force Plus is a product that I use on a daily basis because I understand how important it is to protect my DNA health. And that is what DNA Force does. It helps to protect your, you know, as you get older, each time these cells divide, the little end caps on it, think about it as a kind of a shoelace. Those telomeres, they start to get smaller and smaller, shorter and shorter as the cells divide. Well, this helps to slow down that process. You know, you can actually go, you can look at the DNA cells and you can predict how long somebody is going to live a natural life by looking at the length of those telomeres, those little end caps on the end of the DNA. Because once that's gone, your DNA is going to be unprotected like a shoelace without that end cap, and it's going to unravel like that shoelace, and it's going to manifest itself in a wide variety of different ailments, that type of thing. So you can very effectively predict somebody's life expectancy. A great product, but it is an expensive product to produce. And we now have that at 50% off, plus you get a free bottle of Carnivore. This is the big bottle of Carnivore as well, the 90 count. You get that for free, as well as DNA Force Plus for 50% off. We also have Super Male Vitality on sale at 25% off, along with a free bottle of Carnivore. Take a look at those specials. And while you're there at InfoWarsStore.com, don't forget to try our new skin cream. We've got a new skin cream with Nano Silver. It is a great product. Family members use it. I talked about using it over the weekend. I had to change a tire, got a lot of ant bites on my hand, and it really did help. With the open bites and the itching and so forth. It's a great product. If you try it, I know you're going to love it. It's going to be one of those things like our Super Silver toothpaste, my favorite toothpaste that I've ever used. But right now we got a new product, Super Silver Skin Cream.
That's right. And speaking of silver, I mean, I have to give a plug too, because I've been flying since last Friday. Flew out east for a partner meeting. I had to fly back to Wichita. Spent 14 hours in an airport because we had some flight delays and cancellations. Then I was back in the air yesterday morning to come down to Austin. And the only reason why I'm not hacking up phlegm and sick is because of this Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle. And they're not paying me to say this, folks. This stuff works. I've had the store brand stuff before. If you look at the back, you can see it's not as good as what InfoWars is selling. And it's delicious, David. I didn't know that it had such a great taste to it until I bought it here recently.
Well, you know, we were talking during the break, and I said, when you showed that to me, I said, yeah, before we had that, I would even travel with a silver bullet.
Right.
Because, you know, to have that silver when you're traveling, you're exposed to a lot of different viruses. Your body is a little, your immune system is taken down a little bit because you're off your schedule. You're not eating as well. You're not resting as well. And so anything like that, just like the toothpaste, it fights bacteria as well as viruses. It's a great thing to have.
It
really is.
It really, I mean, I don't know if I would be here right now without it. And by the way, this did not come from the desk. This did not come from the back room. This came from my pocket, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, absolutely. I agree as well. Let's talk a little bit about Google and YouTube, you know, as they're bragging about their censorship and everything. One of the things that they are not too concerned about is your kids. I said, is this kind of like child trafficking? You know, when you look at, you've got hidden web pages that feed personal data that they capture from your children. They use that to sell that to advertisers to track children. It's a child trafficking thing. They've monetized your children. You know, when the service is free, as we all know, you are the product. George Gilder has talked about that. He said it's a you know, this whole data model of big data, Tom. He said, you know, it's predicated on the idea that they're going to put everything out there for free because you are the product. Your kids are the product. Are you guys okay with that? You guys okay with your kids being monetized by YouTube, selling that information? Because they're putting them in a, just like we're talking about Facebook being LifeLog,
right?
You know, DARPA's LifeLog. Well, you know, Google's got that as well. And so they're going to track your kids lifelong. They're going to be able to know everything about what your kids like, their orientation. This is part of the geospatial intelligence, activity-based intelligence, human domain analytics, anticipatory intelligence. You're going to be able to anticipate what your kids are going to do. First of all, so they can sell them stuff, but then they're also going to turn this information over to the government eventually.
That's exactly right. And I mean, this is really a shocking thing. I mean, kids who are 18 today were born in 2001. YouTube was already a thing a couple years later. So the kids who are growing up right now, they will have had their entire life, every video they've watched, every topic they've explored, if it's the Alex Jones Show, if it's Real News with David Knight, if it's the Joe Rogan Experience podcast, there is now a database out there that has everything that kid has ever looked at in their life. And as you said, it's being sold. This is as YouTube is coming under fire for essential pedophilia, where you've got pedophiles using comment sections to mark, oh, that little girl looks really good at this timestamp. Let's look at it there. These people obviously do not care about children. They have no interest. These are all just data points for them. And what's fascinating, David, you mentioned that a $170 million fine, which is nothing to YouTube. Well, from my understanding, YouTube has never made money in its existence before or after Google acquired it, because it's video hosting. It's very expensive. Anybody can do it. It's not an easy thing to do. So it's probably a loss leader for Google. So this is just more into the red for them. I think it's an utterly pathetic display. I guess the EU is at least trying to say that they care about children. But when it comes down to it, it's just more. It's a little bit further into the red. Who cares?
Well, I mean, you know, they've operated for years in the red. And but these corporations that can get public funding off of Wall Street,
right?
That's really how they operate. I mean, like I said earlier in the broadcast, I had to compete against a major retail chain. And they had the ability essentially to print money by selling stock. And so that's a big part of what Google and even Amazon that operated for years in the red. You know, now they're operating positively. And, you know, when you look at the commercials that are served on YouTube, it's sometimes they'll put three or four commercials on a short video that is only about 2 or 3 minutes long, I've noticed. Right. I mean, they're really ramping that up.
Absolutely. And of course, there's the big fear that these advertisers will pull out, never mind the fact that it would create a better experience. But again, and think of exactly what's being marketed to children. You can now have corporations that want to manipulate the minds of young people, get directly to the people that they want to through a video platform that frankly does not care what it advertises. I remember a few months ago we had an article that all of these big companies, by the way, and you'll respect this since you were just punished for or being an info warrior here recently. But all of these big companies, it was a Walmart executive particularly who went on, told somebody who then became the source that they don't care about any of this content. They just want to make money. But they're going to pretend to do this adpocalypse thing. And they're going to pretend to be terrified and afraid. But really, they're going to do it to get better ad rates. And they're going to all come back. And they're going to continue selling whatever gadget, perhaps a condom, to your small child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And when you look at the way that Walmart has flipped, I remember pointed yesterday that it was the Obama administration, Eric Holder, that was trying to get them to come to the White House so they could lecture them about how they needed to do gun control. Right. Now they're doing it. You know, stop selling guns. And now they are lobbying President Trump to do more gun control. Mm. And you see the same thing a few years ago. I think it was about 6 years ago. You had Moms Demand Action. We're pushing Kroger, say, shut down anybody coming in with open carry. Now, not only is Kroger doing that, but now Kroger is becoming a lobbyist. We saw that happen with Dick's Sporting Goods. These companies, it's gotten to the point where there's so much money and power in Washington, they realize that they have to go along with the political consensus there if they even want to do business. That's part of the corruption that's happening here, and that's why they're taking away our freedom. Thank you so much, Tom Papert. Again, you can find him at nationalfile.com, and you'll find him on Twitter as well, same handle. Thank you so much, Tom.